Hi, I'm Danica Johnson.
And I'm Chris LeConte.
And we're Champion Chat 360.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Champion Chat 360. How are you, my love?
Doing good. It's Monday. It was beautiful here. We had a great weekend. We pulled out our hammock, which we
got my workout in the morning because my client canceled. So I got to bring Belle to the YMCA where she gets to hang out with other kids for a little while, which is also a big thing, as I've said before. Then we hustle our butt home and we try to watch Game of Thrones, Mike and I, because we don't see a lot of each other. And this is our thing that we're just like, oh my God, we're such geeks. So here's how geeky we are. You know, I love podcasts, but we have a podcast that we listen to that has three episodes about one show through the week, and I'm like jonesing for it to come out. Like,
oh my God.
Last night I was laying in bed and I got the update because I got a new fancy Apple Watch and I didn't put it on silent yet, and I got the update that the instant take was out, so they were reviewing what they saw that day, and I was like, don't, I don't want to see anything, just put it away.
I love that you guys had that little thing.
Yeah, so it's hard. Like, some people have a hard time putting what they want into a package, let's say it that way, where they think they have to do all these big grandiose things. For us, it's not. It's just we want to watch the show together and laugh and be geeks about it.
Right.
For an hour. And then we have that Wednesday that we do little things, but nothing big. But that's how we stay married. And we try to get it in every once in a while, but it's a lot less often. That's our secret to marriage. Barely see each other. Get it in every once in a while. You're good.
That's good. I love that.
Oh, man. So we're going to kind of talk about a little bit of what our lives are like with this and about what our what we've experienced through life of self-sabotage / the fear of succeeding. Whether we've known we've done it, whether we haven't or have done it, or what we've seen in our clients. So, do you have a time that you've ever, that you can think of, that you maybe have self-sabotaged yourself?
I don't think I was successfully self-sabotaged, but
okay.
I think that there were moments of doubt and like that negative self-talk and the why am I even doing this? This is ridiculous. Da da da. I will always follow through with a plan. But I do think that, and I think Andrew is kind of really preaching this more and more to his clients too, that you know, the energy that you put out there is the energy that you're going to take in yourself and surround yourself with. So if you think that you are not going to do well and you're definitely just going to lose and why are you even doing it, then chances are you're probably going to suck. I've learned that. It doesn't mean that I don't have moments of doubt, but I think that when people don't see progress fast, or when like things aren't going the way that they want to, or when their coach is like, all right, it's time to ramp it up, you know, you're time to crunch it out, and you're thinking, fuck, like, am I not doing a good job? Is my body not responding the way that I want it to? Or, I mean, it could even go in other parts of your life too. Like, I'm just not good enough for this promotion, or anything that you need to perform in your life, you can definitely have those negative self-sabotaging thoughts. I don't think I've ever been successful, like, meaning follow through with them.
Right.
That's yeah. Good. Have
so,
you?
Well, that's something for a while that I thought I was kind of dealing with. Here's a little fun story. So when I was in high school, I was ranked either first or second in the 100, and it was a regional meet, and I got in the blocks, and the gunner said, ready, set, boom. Didn't hold us in set. So if you're a runner, you know, it's on your marks, set, bang, and then you go. But this guy did not hold us in set at all, and I didn't get out of blocks fast enough. Like, I literally remember this in my head. It's like a movie. Like,
yeah.
I had enough time to think, oh, shit, and I was still in the blocks. and like I had to bust my ass through. I wish I could have been like a TV movie where I'm like coming back from behind. No, like, I think I came in like third in that heat. So I didn't make it to the final of that. And I was furious because it was supposed to be my year. And so I had this thing in the back of my head from then on that like I blow it all the time when it comes to big meets or big things. I always just blow it. Okay. So, and this kind of, I think, goes into a lot of stuff that we joke around about with me, that I joke around about with me, about always being a bridesmaid, that I'm always like, oh, you know, it's okay. I'm just bridesmaid because I somehow always fuck it up and I'm always second.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I was always self-sabotaging or if that was kind of what you were saying with Andrew, is, which I'm really shocked that the big guy's all hippy-dippy
I
there.
I know. Huh. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I love it. maybe I'm going to test him and be like, hi, I'm having a sense of day. Like, who is this? Anyway, digress. So, I actually started to flip it around a lot when I was training for my Yorton, because I was telling myself, like, why do I always say this to myself? Why do I always think, meh, I'll be second. I'm fine. So I wasn't being negative, but I was just accepting that I was okay being subpar instead of par.
Right.
Which was so weird.
Yeah.
And I think some of it also was joking about how I'm now a LeConte and Mike is a winner. He, everything he's ever played or done, he's been state champs. On his football teams were state champs. His college team was champion of the 1AA, whatever it is. He was a D1, but not like the huge schools that you see at the bowls. But anyway, I digress. So he's like, you're a LeConte now. You're the LeConte now, so you're a winner now. And I was like, oh, okay, no big deal. That's all I needed. But it was definitely a mental thing. From your point of view, from the psychological point, why do you think that happens?
Honestly, I do think that it's gotten progressively worse with social media being out there. And doubting ourselves. And because we compare ourselves and only see what's presented to us instead of like the ins and the outs, where maybe like a performance, right? A performance based back when like you and I were, back when we were in high school, way back when, good old days, where we got to like see the performance. So we kind of were able to judge it accurately, maybe. But now everything is based online, right? So everybody puts their performance or their progression and how they're doing in things online, and you can present it in a rainbow and unicorn way. I think that it's becoming worse, but I also think that a little bit of self-doubt is a good thing, can be a good thing, because it keeps you on your toes, and as long as you have another like self-confident voice to be like, wait a minute, I got this, like, I can do this, or to be able to present it to a coach and, like, have them kind of talk it out with you, I think that it is good. I sometimes think that when you can be overly confident and not just prepare the best way that you could, or you prepare yourself for the absolute best thing possible, but what happens if, like, this random person from Australia comes in and kicks your ass, and you didn't prepare for that. I think that it's okay to have these moments. I really do contribute it, though, to social media. Everybody saying, I'm the best, and wanting to have these unrealistic expectations and not really understanding your own life, I guess, and preparing it or comparing them to others, which are not realistic in the world that you live in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because they're not necessarily giving a realistic of their life either. So you're comparing yourself to Barbie, and you're only 5'3". You're not 6 feet tall with plastic boobs. Well, kind of.
Well, kind of.
Kind of plastic boobs. Silicone in these. But whatever.
I think it happens more, though, which is frustrating. Because even like with some of my clients, they'll say, I know it's just because I keep on seeing other people and how they're progressing, and I know I shouldn't do that. Oh, everybody knows that they shouldn't do that, but the reality is, we're going to.
What is the trigger, though? I this is kind of what I sit sometimes and wonder, like, why? Because in the addict mind, so if you're an addict, which I guess this could be an addiction to feeling too, right? I guess we can kind of go down the psychobabble line where it's the same kind of feeling, but it's not. It's the feeling of guilt you almost get. So let me keep this line going where the addict's mind is the brain literally changes its chemical makeup to say, I need this thing.
Yeah.
And actually, it probably is true because how many times do the doctors tell you or do you read by super mommies that, like, don't let your kids watch TV. It's going to change their minds. Okay, well,
right.
But she loves Moana, so we're just going to let her watch it.
Donna likes Toy Story, so we're going to stay there.
Cute. So you have these external fears that need to fill the holes in your brain to feel complete. But usually it supposedly makes you feel good for a short period of time. But there's nothing good about that you feel about, unless I guess you're like, I'm better than you, better than you.
Yeah, I think it's this idea, I mean, it goes back to the grass is greener on the other side, or comes from your self-confidence, right? I try to break it down for people, and realistically thinking, say we're just talking about competitions, is your body going to look exactly like that person? And they're like, well, no. Well, how come? Well, I'm not them. Okay. And what is it about their body that you're liking? Can you change that? Is that a physical change that you could potentially do? And what does it take to get to that change? And is that going to bring you happiness? Like, do you think that that's going to bring you happiness? Or is it just something that is, I really like that. I admire that. And that's something that I would like to attain, but I'm also super proud of blah 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 blah, blah that I have. I think if you never had somebody to talk it through like that with, and all you did was be like, oh, but her abs are so much tighter, oh my god, did you see that her shoulder caps are huge, I can't believe how big her glutes are, I'm never gonna have calves like that, but nobody helps you to see the other side of things and try to evaluate that a little bit, then it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse, and you're definitely going to keep self-sabotaging in everything that you do, right? Because then you're just going to stay comparing.
Would you say you, because you seem really well adjusted with not doing that, so what are some of the things you do?
I think it's being realistic with myself. Andrew's fiance Rachel has beautiful lines. She's also, what, 5'7"?
I was going to say, like, 5'8", yeah.
Right, I'm 5'2". So, like, my legs physically cannot look the same as hers. It's just not going to happen. I can admire that, but realistically, I can't make my legs grow. Like, they're just not, they're not going to grow. I could strive to be, to attain muscle like hers, but I have to recognize, like, my makeup is different than her makeup. So my DNA, like, my actual makeup is different than hers. The way her body responds is going to be different than mine. And maybe I've learned this through time. Also, working as a trainer helps me to see this, too. Because when people say to me, when I first started as a trainer, I hope people still think this about me, but they were like, I just want a butt like yours. And I would have to be like, okay, physically, is it possible for them to get a butt like mine? I've had this bubble butt since I was out of the womb. I wonder what their butt looked like out of the womb. It probably didn't look like mine. I wonder what their butt looked like at age 10, because mine was literally a bubble. So
yeah.
I think that it has helped me as a trainer and then as a coach to recognize, like, different body types and how people respond. All of that experience has helped me with, like, my own thing, too. And then recognizing what's the ultimate goal here. The ultimate goal isn't to, like, take off someone's skin, like, put it on me.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or it gets the
I
hose.
Just want to skin you and wear you. That's weird. But sometimes this happens. But that's not my ultimate goal. You should twist it as, like, admiration or motivation, I guess, and then being realistic. And also, I've also learned to recognize things that I'm proud of in myself. And I think sometimes that takes a little bit longer. I've tried to incorporate this with some of the clients that do self-sabotage stuff. I'll say, all right, we're going to stop with weight check-ins, and we're going to do one thing that you love about yourself for the week. That's your weekly report. And it has to, sometimes I'll say physical, sometimes I'll say non-physical, because I need them to see other sides of them that they've been able to mold and create, because sometimes we get so lost in comparison that we forget everything that we've accomplished on our own too.
Yeah. One of the things that I used, I think, that flipped my script was, I joke and say it's because I'm a Gemini that I'm able to do this, is exactly what you said, seeing both sides of it. But I look internally, like, how I'm seeing it. Does that make sense? So if I want my waist smaller, my glutes bigger, I envision myself, like, literally take the time to, and I have an app that I would, a podcast, obviously, that I listen to from a very long time, that is, it's called Manifesting. So they guide you through manifesting what you want. So what you do is you envision yourself, whether you're seeing it through your own eyes or you're a judge and you're watching yourself on stage, and I envision me the way I want it to be.
Yeah.
The way I'm posing, the way my body, the everything, and put it together that way. And I also do that same idea with just everything, like business or whatever. Like, kind of, I imagine what I want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then my next step, if it's something that I can actually do, is you take what you admire, like you were saying, and take a page out of their book. So if it's someone who's doing like a workout, whatever, you work on that exercise group. So if you want a bigger glutes, maybe you do, if you're only doing legs one day a week, who is nowadays, honestly, you're going to do two or three, right? So you take a page out of that book, but you apply it to your body, like what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a realization, an action, and I think that's where people get lost.
Yeah.
Is that even if they realize that they're being self-sabotaging, they don't take the next action. That's where I have a hard time with people. Like, I have a pet peeve where someone is in their victim spot, they don't take action. And that's the same thing when it comes to self-sabotage too. You know you're doing it, but you don't do anything to change it.
Right.
Because you're, like, that's where I think the next kind of thing we could talk about is the fear of succeeding.
Right. Right.
Because if you succeed, you're no longer that identity anymore.
Yeah. And that becomes your comfort, right? Like, I feel like with some people, even
but
though
is it comfortable?
It's
like,
not.
You're so miserable.
It's scratchy. Like, you got, like, sand in your ass. It's not that comfortable.
Sandy vagina.
It's not. But sandy vaginas. Sometimes I think people are so accustomed to that that change fears them so much. It sounds amazing and, like, glorious. But to actually do it, I think, I mean, you could tie this into so many different things. If you think about, like, alcoholism or an eating disorder, or none of that brings you necessarily good things, right? It's all negative. But, and you know, like, the majority of us know what to do to make that change. But then that change scares us, because what does the other side even look like? It's like getting out and, like, pushing yourself out. I mean, this is really going to be a scary step. And maybe telling people that, too. Like, this is going to be terrifying. It's going to be scary. Don't know where we're going to land. But guess what? It's going to be better than anything you're doing right now. And that alone should make you want to fucking jump.
Yeah. Oh, it's so interesting. I love this shit.
Love this shit. This is great stuff.
Love this shit. I always wonder why people don't do it. Like, I mean, I'm not perfect. There's things that I'm so, like, but I look at just myself. Like I've talked about before, my learning disability. I could easily have said, "Oh, well, I can't read," and never move forward from that and learn how I learn, and just sit there.
Yeah.
And I was even told, like, come back, work in the mills like the rest of us. And I was like, nah,
Yeah, maybe it's also too the fear of I can't go back. Not that you would want to go back. Take me, for instance, increase calories. And I know that there was a time that I was in such a deficit that like there was no positive coming my way from the caloric deficit that I was in. I knew what to do to get out of it. I knew that on the other side would be better than what I was in right now, but there was fear of like that change. Like, what does that change look like? And is it going to be worse? Like, am I going to explode and blow up? Everybody goes through this with like reverse dieting to some extent, right? Or coming off of a strict plan. I think I've said this to some people too, like, so what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is that your body starts to gain weight. Okay, what do we need to do to kind of stop that a little bit? Are we able, like, is it just going to keep on going? What if it was going to keep on going, don't you need to be doing something in order for that to be happening? And do you have control over that? You do. So that's okay. Bring it on. Because then we just put another action plan into place and then take charge of whatever is presented in front of us. But that fear of, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. I know this place. This is my comfort place. It's not a comfortable place, but I know it. I know it. It's safe. I've built up walls. It's really pretty. I've painted. I don't want to take the paint off. Just put a fresh coat on. I don't want to. But to be able to just like take the sledgehammer, knock down the walls, and build a new home to be in, that's okay. You could do that. Because guess what? You could still go back if you really wanted to, but chances are you're not going to want it.
Yeah, and I guess it to tie it into the social media is that if you self-sabotage, then you have an excuse of why you didn't get where you want to be.
Totally.
So then it's not your fault, or it's not that you weren't good enough. It was that you didn't like, I just didn't do that cardio session, or I ate that extra food that I wasn't supposed to. I binged this day, 'cause that's why.
Right.
That's so interesting, isn't it? Instead of just being like, yep, well, guess that wasn't for me, or it wasn't my day. Taking responsibility.
I think a good like question to always ask people is like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, so you don't think that you're going to do well at the show and you're prepping. So say you continue to prep, what's the worst that could happen show day? You lose. Okay, what does that feel like? What does it look like? What does it feel like? Could you do anything to change it? Okay, do you want to do anything to change it? Really make it real for them and go there with them. Maybe go in that uncomfortable spot. Go right in there. I think that sometimes it's okay, like people get hesitant to go in that uncomfortable spot. But if you don't explore it, you're never gonna know, right? And if you can first explore it, not really in it, then I think that's better, right? Because then you can prepare yourself.
I'm just sitting here thinking, and I'm trying to apply it to myself so I can kind of have a real world input to it. Is so there are days that I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I'm doing NPC. I won worlds, even though I'm the redheaded stepchild of the Yorton Cup, that I'm the Yorton that didn't happen kind of thing. Like, no one remembers. Didn't get any like, hi, nice to meet you. You won the championship. Nice to meet you. Good job. Congratulations. And they're like, that's the dark year, the fog year. But anyway, that's a different subject. So I'm like, shit. Am I gonna be good enough? I guess this is always a thing in all my preps. Like, am I gonna be good enough? Instead of being like, Chrissy, you were good enough. You could have stepped on stage in that body and won, or at least placed at a NPC show. Maybe not a huge NPC show, but at least a NPC show. And yes, different body that you're using right now to get there, but so I'm going right to where my very science brain goes. Apply the same things. Like, don't fucking slack off. Do your shit. Here's the X, Y's, and Z's. And if the X, Y's, and Z's aren't lifting, you just change it. X, Y, Z's, A, B, C's. You just change it. That's all you do. And then you get to where you need to go. And then that day for us as shows. It's not even up to me, but I already did X, Y, and Z, so why the, like, I didn't add Q in.
Right.
So, interesting. And my, right now, my Q is, like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna get there. I need to be, like, meh. No more Q. No, like,
Q, no more, you really no don't belong here, actually. No Q. I totally understand that. I think that, like I said, there's probably, it's okay to have that element of, to a degree, of questioning or a little bit of doubt, because then doesn't that motivate you a little bit? Or I think that it's kind of a slippery slope too, because you need it to be a motivator and not to be like, nah, I'm already going to win, so I don't need to do this cardio.
Right.
Yeah.
Good point. Yeah, I'm a Rocky, so I kind of like to be going against the odds, so I have to kind of remind myself.
Yes.
So, again, from the story I told in the beginning, then I won a championship, and now I'm like, what the fuck am I now? Like, I'm not Rocky anymore. Or am I Rocky? Because Rocky won. Yeah. But now I have to go fight some kid in the street, like Rocky, like, whatever, that six, that was terrible.
100% understand that.
So I don't know if we give any tips. I guess the tips is realize that you're doing it. The first step is admitting.
That's your first step.
First step is admitting that you're self-sabotaging. The second is maybe talk to someone and realize that maybe that's part A and B of one. And then next is see what it is that you really want, that you're, is it something you really want? And then take action.
Right.
Because what we're telling everyone to do is to be scared, but do it.
Right. Yeah. And if the change that you're kind of resisting is scary and frightening, go there. Like, go mentally with somebody else and visit it for a little while and see what that is. Because you're never going to know. It might not be as scary as you anticipate it to be.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to end it. Anything else you want to add?
No, I like that. I like this psych thing.
Yeah, so I think Dinnick and I were talking about is we're going to add a little segment where we're going to talk about something we learned this week. So it could be science, it could be life, it could be whatever. So instead of just thankful, but something that we learned this week.
I learned, actually, that a lot of the times we don't use our diaphragm the way that we should. So in breathing,
diaphragm.
So a lot of the times, just a quick exercise for people to do to see if they know how to activate their diaphragm appropriately, because a lot of the times we, even with posing, so we're constantly tilted back and then we're holding, so we're engaging, but we're not really like letting anything out. We're not pushing anything down, so our ribcage is up tight. Like, it's constantly like activated, but we're not really using it, right? So this can also contribute to like back problems, blah blah blah. So good, quick thing to do: 90-degree angle with your legs, so you're lying on your back, your feet are up against the wall, and at a 90-degree angle. Knees down. So then you elevate your glutes just a tiny, tiny bit. So elevate just a little bit with your hamstrings, not with your lower back. So it's a tiny elevation. Then you're going to put a balloon in your mouth. Your right arm is going to go above your head. Balloon is in your mouth. And you are going to try to blow up that balloon without your cheeks. So most people either can't blow up the balloon because we're used to using our cheeks, so our neck, our traps, and then all of the jaw muscles, right? So we just use our cheeks to blow out the air instead of our diaphragm. So when you actually use your diaphragm, your ribcage is going to go down as you blow out. Another quick thing, as you exhale and blow up that first one, then you're going to wait 4 seconds and then try to continue to blow out. So you inhale slowly and continue to blow out. So that is a quick exercise to do. And it is, I had Matt try it and he can blow up the balloon. I don't know. So so I had to try to show him, like, most of us go, no one can see me, but like
Right.
really, really hard with our cheeks, right? Yeah. So I learned that, and the benefits of using your diaphragm. I mean, God, why don't we use a freaking diaphragm? I never even thought about that, but I've been learning those things, and a little bit of it helps with postural restoration. So little things with hip placement, and then your rib cage, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
My quick trainer's tip.
We use a lot of that focus in Pilates, so that's why I
Yeah.
remember when I've talked to you about anchoring your ribs or netting your ribs is what they call it in
Yep.
Pilates, is it's bringing that ribs down and using that diaphragm to hold, and especially with posing, like you were saying, a lot of
Yeah.
girls arch their chests when they do their front pose when you should really be pulling your ribs down.
Right.
So good tip.
What'd you find?
God, I don't know what I found. I was the one that came up with this idea, and I was like, I don't know what I found. Oh, here was an interesting. So I looked up this study for it was about fasting,
Oh.
and the longest fast was 382 days, and the man was about 300 to 400 pounds, came down to 180 pounds, and he literally was fa it was all supervised. And it was interesting that he just had either water or they gave him supplements, and at only certain times. It's an interesting, you can look it up. You can see it was done in 1971, so I'd like to see it done again. But it's an interesting study, and it's the longest medical fast to record to date.
Wow.
And he had diabetes, his cholesterol, everything, and afterwards he was back to, I would say, normal levels. But he fasted for a year plus and was alive. Granted, it was medically supervised, so they gave him certain supplements that he needed, and he was able to have different foods here and there throughout the study, depending on the time frame of the study. But yeah, because I Mike, thank goodness, is going to start doing something, so like with his body. For those of you
Awesome.
who know that I joke about my husband does nothing at all, he said he'd like to try doing keto for starting it for 10 days. Like they recommend to at least do it for at least 10 days, then if you want to do a refeed or whatever, or just go into it a certain way. So I've been looking up just some different things for him that he can read so that he'll take ownership of it. But that's
Yeah.
the only way to get my husband to do something is if he thinks he's doing it himself. So
Awesome.
yeah. I looked up that just to see about the fasting because he's really actually pretty good at fasting because the way he works, it would be interesting to put it together for him.
Absolutely. You're gonna have to keep this posted.
Yeah. So you can look up that study. I'll try to link that study in our Facebook forum so that people can read it. Don't get overwhelmed at first. There is a lot of science-looking jargon, but you can actually read the experts, just the
Yeah.
summaries and stuff, and it's easy to read. So
Awesome.
cool. And then, real quick, what do you think of it for?
I am thankful for, I'm thankful for my hammock.
Your hammock.
I think it's such a beautiful thing, a hammock. I got it for our wedding, and I forget how much I love it. It's just so peaceful. I think it's like a hammock is just, or like a porch swing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a hammock and it's beautiful and we put it up. So, what are you thankful for?
What am I thankful for? Game of Thrones. I'm thankful for Game of Thrones. Grr.
I
Super geek.
don't follow them at all, that show. But everybody and their mother does. And I, from what I hear on the radio, actually, is that it's just an amazing show.
It's so good. If you ever have like a place that you're traveling to or something, I'm sure it would be great to have because they're all like an hour, 45 minutes or an hour long, and start at one. And it is a little daunting at first. Like if I didn't have Mike who read the books, so I haven't read the books, I probably would listen to them to be honest. But he
Yeah.
tells me not even to do it because it doesn't matter anymore because they're off of the books. But Mike read the books and watches the show, so it's nice to have him to give me some insight about the show from the books. And then we do a lot of theorizing together, and because of the podcast that we both listen to, we're like, we literally text each other. We don't see each other. We're like, did you listen to the podcast? And I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah, what do you think about this theory? We're such geeks. This is how we stay together. Similar likes. But I'm actually going to go finish the episode for this week right now. So
I'm good.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Thank you. So I hope everyone has a great day. We will talk to you soon. If you would like to follow us at ChampionChat360 on Instagram, you can also join our free forum, ChampionChat360, on Facebook. We hope you have a great day. Talk to you soon. Bye. Bye.